Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on our experience of living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. Just a note off the top, I want to acknowledge that these episodes have been a little less regular the past few weeks. I've gone from doing an episode every Monday to doing one roughly every 10 days because I do work on this podcast alone, and what with living La Vida COVID, I've struggled to stay on a regular schedule lately. But I do appreciate all of you who are listening and hanging in with me on this tarot journey. I'm still planning to keep this a weekly podcast, and hopefully nothing major will disrupt that as we end the year and enter 2021. With that, let's push on. So friends, now we're fully in December. The moon is waning, we're approaching the end of the year, and winter is also coming here in the Northern Hemisphere. The ongoing strain of living through a pandemic, combined with all of these natural and temporal milestones, should perhaps motivate us to go inward, to truly think about the things that are no longer serving us, and to identify what we can release, let go, or move on from. With everything we have on our minds, this is probably a great time to separate ourselves from everything that's not working. Because January may not be much easier, so it's time to let go of all the shit that is weighing us down and that we don't need to carry. And remember that if you're going through your days wishing that certain things in your life were different, intentionally letting certain things go is a good way to actually make room for new and positive things that could come our way or that are going to come our way if we let them. So because of that, I thought this week we could simply ask the tarot, what should I release? But what does it mean to truly release things, to let them go? How do we do it? For one thing, I think we need to be truly present and to see life as it is, without layering stories on top of our current reality. Being present is the first step to accepting life as it is, which is also the first step, ironically, towards making any changes that are needed and desired. I'm reminded of a poem by Dorothy Hunt, "Peace is this moment without judgment," which goes like this. Do you think peace requires an end to war? Or tigers eating only vegetables? Does peace require an absence from your boss, your spouse, yourself? Do you think peace will come some other place than here, some other time than now, in some other heart than yours? Peace is this moment without judgment. That is all. This moment in the heart space where everything that is welcome. Peace is this moment without thinking that it should be some other way, that you should feel some other thing, that your life should unfold according to your plans. Peace is this moment without judgment. This moment in the heart space where everything that is welcome. And that's the end of the poem. Now, I don't want to minimize the fact that life is very difficult right now for many of us, but when we are in pain, what makes the pain worse, what brings about suffering in addition to pain, as the Buddha would say, is the resistance to what is. All we have to do is look at what's happening here in the US to see that. There's a lot of resisting what life is now, with people who resist public safety measures en masse who are making COVID worse, some members of our community, some very powerful, like the Supreme Court justices who voted 5-4 to ignore public health measures in houses of worship so that, what, people can pack themselves into churches for holidays or weddings? We also, for the moment, have a president who, rather than spending any time focusing on this pandemic that has killed over 280,000 people, is focused solely on the bogus idea that the election he lost has been rigged against him. And he is spending time and money wreaking havoc around the country to try to get the legal results of the election overturned. I actually don't want to give this topic a lot of oxygen right now because I think that it and the man are part of what we need to let go of. but I can't fully ignore it because the ramifications of this man's actions will be with us long after he leaves the White House. So given the struggle that will continue after he's gone and the challenges that we face as a collective, I think it's best not to dwell on the things that we really can't change right now that will no longer be a factor after this man is evicted from the People's House on January 20th. But back to the question and the reading for the week. I thought we'd do a simple two-card pull, yes to this, no to that reading, to let us better understand what we should let go of. The yes card will illuminate what we have accomplished or achieved or received or what has actually come into our lives recently. And the second card, as a counter, will suggest what we actually should release. With the question set and the spread decided, I pulled two cards and got the High Priestess reversed and the Five of Pentacles. That's the High Priestess reversed and the Five of Pentacles. Okay, so we're bringing in the energy of the High Priestess reversed and letting go of the energy that is the Five of Pentacles. We have one major arcana, one minor arcana. This combination is telling us about the interplay between our inner life and our outer social life, I think. The High Priestess, this regal, all-knowing being who sits with a crown on her head in luxurious robes between two pillars, one black, one white, with a book of wisdom on her lap, typically points to inner wisdom and intuition, to deeper sacred knowledge. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, she also has behind her a drapery that is adorned with pomegranates, which we don't see in this deck, but I'll just point it out because pomegranates are a symbol of abundance, which is interesting to think about in combination with the Five of Pentacles, which we have here, which is a card of deprivation and poverty. The High Priestess asks us to consider our spirituality and, you know, in the context of abundance, our spiritual wealth. It calls to mind meditation, to going within. It reminds us of the great and infinite pool of wisdom that is available to us if we stop the inner chatter and be still. If we let go of the judgment and just stay in the moment, as we discussed. Normally, when the card is reversed, it can point to either an issue with going within, perhaps either suggesting the negative impact of secrecy, for example, or can point to a problem with silence or with listening only to yourself without input from the outside. In the context of the question, what should I release? And considering that this particular card is in the position that's asking us to consider what has recently come in to our lives, what can we say about it? I'd point to an element to this card that is distinct in this deck, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, which we're using. Our High Priestess, who is faceless, has someone with her. Whereas in the classic Rider-Waite-Smith deck, the Divine High Priestess sits alone, our High Priestess is not alone. She has with her a swaddled infant. This baby is lying in straw and is fully wrapped in green, sort of bandage cloth from head to toe. He kind of reminds me of the baby Jesus in white Christian nativity scenes, or possibly of Moses from the Old Testament. He's just a divine being, a new sort of wise figure coming on the scene. There's something incredibly powerful and hopeful about this little being beside the High Priestess in this particular deck that emphasizes to me that although the High Priestess has infinite wisdom that she can tap into, there is something to be said about being connected to other beings in order to really unlock the power of our inner selves. What I'm getting from this card, in short, is that what we've learned or acquired or received to date is the knowledge that going within is important, but that we can't lock ourselves in, as we have been forced to do in some ways because of the pandemic, to fully know the deep wisdom of the universe. We have to go beyond the storytelling we do about ourselves and inside ourselves about our own lives to see the beauty and the wisdom of the world by connecting to it, by connecting to others in it. So then moving to the Five of Pentacles, this is what we're actually releasing. The Five of Pentacles typically represents hardship, poverty, or struggle. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, we see two figures walking in a snowstorm, in deep snow, past a church. They do not have warm clothing. They're not dressed for the elements. They're cold, and although they're probably together, they're not walking together. The woman walks ahead in a shawl, looking like she's shivering, and behind her walks a young man in bandages and on crutches. At the center of the image is a large stained glass window of the church, bright and colorful, with five pentacles shining in the night. The scene is slightly different in our deck, where we have two similar figures huddled together walking past a simple home, and outside the door of the home is a dog, presumably a guard dog, growling at the pair, and therefore presumably discouraging them from approaching the house to get help. There are subtle but distinct differences in meanings between the two depictions of this card, but they're both important to consider, I think. In the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, what we get is the idea that these two are undoubtedly struggling, but that perhaps in the weight of their struggle, there's a prevention from seeing that there is shelter available inside the church they're walking past. There's support available in each other, but they're lost and they really are struggling. One of them is physically not well, and one of them is cold and maybe hungry and feeling alone. They're both feeling alone and they're really weighed down by their struggle. So they can't access the help that might be available. In our depiction, in our deck, the struggle is slightly different. We don't see it as well, but clearly we see that these two are huddled together and they're looking for outside help that they're afraid to get because the environment that they're in is threatening. Right? The guard dog is preventing them from going to the home and asking for help. Either way, the Five of Pentacles, the card of struggle, and I would say scarcity here, and illness as well, I would say, just given COVID, as something to let go of, acknowledges that although we may be dealing with very real hardships right now, the idea of scarcity is what we need to let go of. The idea that our struggle is unique, that we are in it alone, that there is no one out there who could possibly understand or help, is probably harming us. I think that together, these cards are reminding us that we have, either through its absence or through its availability, discovered and really internalized that support of others is the valuable thing we need to be aware of and grateful for. And the notion that we must struggle alone is the thing we need to let go of. The mentality of scarcity, the focus on what we don't have and on what others have, or the notion that we never win when others always win, all of that has the effect of weighing us down and preventing the positive flow of life from coming in and lifting us up. So it's time to think about the ways in which we dwell in scarcity thinking and ignore the positive aspects of our lives, which could have a profoundly positive effect if we let them. And so with that, I end this week's reading. I hope you got something out of it. I'll share the reading on Twitter and Instagram. Please look for it on my personal account at Call Me River Rose. If you have questions, comments, and suggestions for me, you can also email me at iamriverrose@gmail.com. If you like what you've heard, I encourage you to leave me a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you can, and to share the podcast with your community. Until next week, be well, take care, and remember, peace is this moment without judgment.